phone lights up past 10 p.m. I ain't gotta ask to know who it is. She rolls on her side, flips the thing over. I ain't a fool, you ain't sober. But hey man, I get it, I'd be drunk too. Probably calling her number after a few. Tried to talk back, but I cut loose. Brother, I'm sorry, but that's all on you. You let her go, you let her leave. You didn't care till she was here with me. You didn't go chasing her down that driveway, begging her to come back. You let her cry, you let her fly. You left a chance for another guy to show her what it means to hold on tight. You let her go.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Let Her Go, is CCMA award-nominated country artist David James. With an expressive 19 million collective streams to date across all songs, the latest track and video offer a unique perspective on what it means to hold on to the ones that you love. Directed by Ryan Nolan, the video showcases James in a third-party role, panning from scenes in the bar with a subtle dialogue between the country artist and a couple, to stunning scenic views where he shares his perspective on the relationship. The single released last year once again finds James joining forces with award-winning producer Danik DePell as he channels a new and evolved sound. Here to talk about his latest single and music video, summer festivals, and more new music is CCMA award-nominated country artist David James. It is so great to have you back on the show, finally. It's been a while.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I love your new journey. We're going to get into the new single. I just want to congratulate you on the last two. They have just been so cool to hear and watch this transition that you're on right now, this evolving sound. Pretty cool.
Thank you. You know, as an artist, it's always, I think, important to keep trying to define and redefine yourself and discover kind of fresh ways to pursue your passion. And that's definitely been the journey that I've been on lately. You know, we've been trying to write and record fresh sounds and different songs and doing slightly different processes in the studio and things like that. And I just love the new direction it's been taking.
Mm-hmm. It's really, music changes all the time. It's always evolving. So you kind of have to explore new things to be able to see what the fans are gravitating to, especially after COVID. So much changed along the way when it comes to the listening formats and how fans are getting music. All of that is completely changed the playing field too, also for independent artists as well. A lot more competition too that you have to listen
to.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. I think COVID, you're right, was definitely a transformative period for how people connect and consume with music. And it just seems like people are just interested in going a little deeper with the music that they consume, and it seems like fans are more passionate now about like interesting music and really passionate or emotive song lyrics and things like that, which is really exciting to me as an artist. You know, it's always fun to write and record fun songs and party songs and happy songs, and there's a place for those in music as well. But it's really been kind of interesting to see the transition, at least from what I've noticed.
Well, same here, because I think so many people were going through so much more, lost so much more. And a lot of people discovered so much about themselves too, you know, on a good note. So I think, you know, as we go through changes in our own lives, people look at music. They always turn to music. I know I do. And it's just something that we all go to, and we can tell exactly where we were. It's like a timestamp for every one of us, exactly where we were in our lives. When something happened, we can relate to a song. And I think just with everything everybody went through and what people are still going through, and that has really changed the dynamic when it comes to what people are looking for in lyrics and how they're relating to songs and applying that to their lives and life change, big time.
I think that's a beautiful thing about music, is just its ability to connect with you on any level at any time. And I love that there's songs that are across the breadth of the human experience, whether it's, you know, falling in love or falling out of love, your first crush or your first truck. And like you totally hit the nail on the head there. We all have songs that bring us back to those big moments, which are so cool. Like, you know, we all have a song that's like, oh yeah, that was the summer of my first crush, you know, or oh, this song just brings me back to getting into a little bit of trouble with my friends in high school or whatever it is. And I, one of the coolest moments for me ever as an artist was shortly after I released my first single on my first record deal with MDM, a lady from Twitter had reached out to me. It was a song called What We Weren't Looking For. And a lady from Vancouver, she had reached out on Twitter. And she had said, you know, I don't know who you are. I've never heard of you as an artist. I've never heard your music before. And I heard the song on the radio and I got it right away and I can't stop listening to it. And it just fits me and my fiance where we're at. And we're going to use it as our wedding song. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was so cool because, you know, I have songs like that where they just highlight those big moments, those big memories. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody else to say, hey, we're going to take this song, this thing that you've created, you know, with writers and other musicians, and we're going to make it the soundtrack to our special day. I just, for me, that was so cool and really kind of cemented the kinds of music I wanted to make and the kind of artist I wanted to be. I mean, that's what I want to do is I love creating music that people can connect with. And it's just so humbling because you know, those are the big days, the big moments, the big memories. And to be a part of that for somebody is, I mean, it's beyond words. It's just so incredibly amazing and cool in all the best ways.
Well, I also look at too, you're such a humble guy. And in real life as well, as an artist, you really care about your fan base. And that's always been something really special. I think that's why people can gravitate to your lyrics as well, to the songs you choose. If a song's been pitched to you or something that you've co-written or written, it makes a big difference to how fans take a look at an artist and stay with them for the longevity of their career, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I, you know, just as an artist, I think it's important to be as authentic and real as possible. You know, there's... It's such a vulnerable art form, and it's such a full expression of you know, artistic direction and creativity and all these things. And I think people can see through, you know, some of the transparency and some of that stuff. So I think it's important as an artist just to be real, you know, if nothing else, being real for yourself. So you can be authentic about the music you're making. And it's such a interesting time to be an artist or a consumer of music because I think there's a lot more of a connection or a close connection that's really possible artists and their fans now than there's ever been. Like, obviously,
so true.
Social media is a big part of that. And I just think through this shared COVID experience we've had, people just, I don't know, it just seems like we've all gone through something together, which I think can't help but bring everybody closer. You know, even strangers on the street, like even people I don't know, I've just kind of noticed that it might just be a little bit of a mood shift where we've all just kind of gone through this thing together and come out the other side. And it's just been part of our shared human experience that maybe we're all just a little closer together.
I think so. I think, you know, with social media too, you know, the artists, normally when you guys are on radio tours and you're promoting, you know, a song that you're putting out to radio, they only hear like what's the song about, you know, the process for writing. And then, you know, when are you going to be performing? Where can we see you? And that's it. They don't know anything more. And that's when, and I was always doing live interviews as well. And then, you know, created the podcast. And at first, before COVID, or just after COVID started, I thought, you know, I got to continue what I'm doing for the magazine as well as, you know, for the artists and the labels. How am I going to approach this? And that's when the podcast came up. And at first, it was like, oh my God, podcast. No, you know, labels weren't too sure about any of that. And now I think the artists absolutely love it, and so do the labels, because it really drew the fans in, because we can talk longer. We can talk about more in-depth stuff, the reasons why, you know, something that you might be facing in your life that a fan can connect to. And it creates a whole new listening audience worldwide.
Yeah, it's such a cool medium because you're right. really explore and delve into a lot of those things. And you couldn't have been more right about, you know, radio, like live interviews, and like, you know, they're quick and they're short and they're sweet, and they definitely serve a purpose, but it is, you know, it often is the same, you know, five or six questions over and over, and they're all pretty, pretty light and on the surface, which is fine. You know, it serves a purpose, but it's nice to be able to do something like this you know, hopefully just give another, another medium to just be kind of authentic and real and share details about your experience and everything else. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, songs that they might have listened to that they might not have thought too much of the lyrics, and then they hear an interview like this, and you go a little bit more in depth about the reasons why you chose the song or wrote the song, and all of a sudden you got a new listener that's paying attention to those lyrics and paying attention to your music where they may not have before.
Totally. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, a lot of my songs, you know, they are, like, for country music, I think they are, like, pretty lyrically substantial. And, and I love making songs that people can connect with and on that kind of level. So you're right. Maybe for me, this is, you know, more of an authentic and a real medium for me to connect with people.
And I think too, worldwide, we've got so many international listeners in the UK and, you know, Germany. We have them all over Europe, as well as Australia and so many different countries. And it's nice to be able to see the fan base that's growing and growing for Canadian country artists. It's just incredible, the magnitude of the impact everybody's having right now. And I think it puts Canada on the map too. We've got some incredible artists, really great writers and producers as well.
We really do. You know, it's such a fun time to be in the country music industry in Canada, and just to see country music growing globally, I just think is such an amazing thing. It's definitely not a surprising thing for me. You know, in years past, people have always associated country music, you know, with the United States and Canada to an extent. I mean, often the southern states, but it's just the thing that connects you with country music is it's just songs about life, you know. It's things that are so relatable, and we go back to that shared human experience. We've all endured falling in and out of love. We've all endured those breakups. We've all endured, you know, the first crush or first truck or first car. You know, we've all endured these experiences. We've all endured a party or a night that we don't want to end. And that's the really cool thing about country music. It finds you where you're at, and it just has a way of getting to you and tugging on your heartstrings a little bit. And that, I mean, that's what I've always loved most about it is just the songs. There's so many great songs. And I'm a firm believer that country music has the best songwriters in the world, just because we love to write about those human experiences that we've all gone through. And if you could package that in a way that's fresh or make somebody re-examine a situation or think differently or even just create a song that helps somebody just connect with themselves or what they're going through, I just think that's such a powerful thing.
It's true, because I know a lot of people, when they first hear, oh, you know what, I'm a rock fan, or, and I started out that way too. And there was certain bands that I liked, you know, that were country because of my parents. They were influences for me growing up, but I was a true rock girl. And getting into this business and working with different festivals and things like that, I grew such an appreciation for country music and for the musicians as well, because they are incredible musicians. And when you take a look at what studio music is in country in comparison to rock is just a few chords, where country, you have to really know what you're doing and what you can do with a guitar and the notes that you can. It's just incredible what the studio musicians can do. But also just being able to see the fans and how they interact with the music and those festivals, they're diehard for life. And they relate in a different way than any other genre I've seen.
You know, it's funny. I actually grew up, a lot of what I listened to was rock and roll too. My first memories of music are just the early morning rides in my dad's truck on the way to hockey practice or hockey, 6 a.m. in rural Manitoba. And he'd always have a different rock record on. And so I grew up listening to a lot of that music too. And I think one of the main differences I've found, at least from like being on stage and performing and being an artist, is a lot of times with rock music, especially like older rock music. You know, you go to a show and you hear it and you're like, yeah, I love this song. It's like super fun and catchy and it's great. But it almost just feels like country music can just hit you on a different level. It just feels like, you know, to have people in the audience like crying when you're playing a song because they just connect with it so much, or slow dancing with their partner, or things like that. Like, you know, just having a moment. I love that country music can just provide those moments. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen in other genres, but I've just seen how impactful it can be in our genre. And I just love that. And I think I know that's one of the main reasons that country music is just going to continue growing globally at such a fast rate, is it's just because it just provides that kind of experience.
And I think too, we're also seeing a lot of different types of country music, where when I look at some of the rock bands that I gravitated to, the ones I love to put on the radio, if I was doing a road trip, Eagles was going to be one of them, you know, Bob Seger, or, you know, even Springsteen was another.
Oh my gosh, you just named like three of my all times.
It's because we love the stories. They were great storytellers in the rock world. But when you're seeing some of the music back then, you could classify as a lot of what's on radio today as rock too. And when it's country. So like there is a commonality in there that's probably why you loved it as much as what I did. So yeah, those were the ones that I really loved. The other ones, yes, it's just great to go to a concert and hear that stuff. But the ones that I sat and played over and over again were like the Eagles and Bob Seger and that kind of thing. So yeah. Now, one of your influences when we talked before was Paul Brandt. Tell us about that and what really stuck out for you in wanting to cover a lot of his music when you first started. What was it about his storytelling that you loved so much?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had like grown up listening to some country music and stuff, but this is like how music can be one of those moments. It was like my very first girlfriend who really introduced me to a lot of
Paul Brandt. With a girl. Just saying.
You know, you'll notice a theme throughout all of my music.
That's right.
Start with a girl. Hopeless romantic for sure. But, you know, I've been a big fan of Paul's for years. He's just such an incredibly talented. I mean, first off, he's an incredibly talented singer. And his voice is so iconic. Like, you just know it's Paul as soon as he gets up there to sing. You just know it's him. But he's got a way of putting his mark, his stamp on a song that for me just kind of makes me feel something a little extra. And you know, whether it's a ballad or whether it's even like kind of a more upbeat funk song, like Alberta Bound. I'm not even from Alberta, but when I hear that song,
I
as heck wish I was, you know, and I still feel all the feels. And it's just, I think his delivery is so authentic, and that's kind of what we were talking about earlier. And I'm just drawn and gravitated towards those kind of artists and those kind of performances. Those are my favorite kinds of shows, going to see them, you know, I love great singers and I love great bands. But for me, the most important part of a performance is, does this feel authentic? Like, do they show up just to play a show, or are they really trying to guide you through an experience here? And, you know, through all of Paul's catalog and through the times I've gotten to see him perform, which is, you know, quite a lot now, and stuff like that. He's just one of those guys that is just able to tell a story in such a way that it just makes you feel something extra.
Well, he's always been one of my favorites, and you see a lot of young artists looking up to him because of just the way he's been as an artist towards his fans. And at the same time, it's just the kind of music he chooses. He's so very particular about what he puts out. And I can really appreciate that, because he knows it's going to impact someone out there. And that's the whole reason for doing music. But man, he is just one talented artist all the way around. He's a superstar for a reason.
Totally. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. And at that point, he's had so many songs that have just impacted people in such cool ways that that's got to be a lot of pressure for him. You know, I think pressure for any artist when you're trying to deliver new music to your fans. You're like, God, I hope they like it. Or, man, I hope this is what people want to hear. But, I mean, at his point, I mean, it's got to be just such an exponential amount of pressure. I don't even want to think about it, you know, every time he releases new music. But I mean, I guess that's also why he's one of the best, is because he's just so in tune, I think, with his fan base and what people want to hear. And he's great at creating music for the moment that can just stick with you.
I think it can be so difficult, and hurdles come along the way when it comes to when you first start out in the career. Sometimes you can get pushed to completely just release to radio. But the one thing with Paul Brenton, he was very smart when it come to making sure he connected with the song in a personal way, which made it authentic, made it believable to anybody that was listening to any of his music. He didn't worry about playing to radio. He played because he loved it. He played and stayed in tune with the reasons why he started to become an artist to begin with, or wanted to become an artist to begin with. And I think that is absolutely key, because you're going to go through struggles when it comes to writing. You're going to go through struggles when, you know what, why is this song not hitting right now? If you can get past all of that and just take a look at, you know what, do I connect with this? You're going to connect to somebody out there. It doesn't matter whether or not it's a hit record or not, and you're up on a podium or not. It's about connecting and making sure your music stays true. Those are going to be the keys to a long, long career in music.
You're totally right. It's you know, it's a funny thing when you're an artist, you know, especially, you know, I mean, I got signed to a record deal pretty quickly and things, and you know, I'm super for that. I'm super grateful for my amazing team, but there's definitely, I don't want to call it a power struggle, because certainly not a struggle, but, you know, there's definitely that balancing act between, you know, your record label. It's like, okay, this is a business, and they're trying to monetize your art form. Which is great, because, you know, as an artist, you want to be able to make a career doing what you're doing, and you're really fortunate to do that. And so it's definitely a balancing act, you know, between trying to stay true to yourself and be authentic and just create music you really, really want to create. And then also just trying to get your team on board with everything you want to do, because us artistic folks, we can be a little all over the place sometimes and a little moment to moment, and that's okay. But it's definitely a balancing act. But I mean, it's one that Paul has just graciously and done so amazingly over the years, I think. And that, you're right, that's why he's one of the all-time greats.
I think just remembering, you know, the kind of artist you want to be. Sometimes you do need to take direction. And sometimes that's what's, you know, the team is there for. And releasing songs, yes, you want to be able to have a radio release every year. And they know, they have the pulse on that and what is going to hit well, you know, with fans. But also allowing you to be enough of a creative force in your own journey that you can release the kind of music that you're proud of. One that you're going to look forward to singing, you know, 20 years down the line. And something that means something to you, that, like you said, it's a map of our lives. It's a map of your life, right?
That's totally true, yeah. And I think as an artist too, and I mean, if there's any young artists listening, I think one of the keys is really just surrounding yourself with people that believe in what you're doing and empower you to be creative and get to write and record those songs is just so important. You know, I've seen young artists come and go who just get a little burnt out, you know, getting kind of put into positions where maybe they're singing or recording music that's not really them, or they don't really want to. And that's why it's just so important to make sure that your team just really believes in what you're doing and just wants to empower you. And that's just such a healthy place to be in as an artist, where you kind of have that freedom to kind of go and do that. And I've definitely experienced that throughout my career with my team. I'm very, very fortunate.
You are. You've got a great team behind you. When you take a look at the journey in music that you've had so far, because like you said earlier, you had success early. You got signed early. Now, when you looked at what success looked like back then, usually it's the tour bus, the fame, the big stages. And then when you step back and you look at the moments that really matter along the way, because if that's all you're looking for, it's going to be a short career. If you look at success in a way that, you know, those are those small stages, those intimate stages, those stories that you hear that come back from a fan, how your music touched them. What does success look like to you today in comparison to what it looked like when you first started out? Has it changed?
I don't know if it's really changed. I think for me, it's it's kind of always about the fans and you know, hey, playing a big show or whatever, that's great and that's a lot of fun. Yeah, I think when you're getting started in music as a kid or whatever, you're like, man, a tour bus would be so cool, until you quickly realize that they're not really all that cool and hard to get a good night's sleep.
That's so true.
Your neck is sore. And
you're getting paid to travel.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, there's 22 hours of travel for every
exactly.
hour I've been on stage. But for me, the coolest parts, and I think the parts that make me feel like I've done my job, is just having my music resonate with the fans and with people, listeners. I think that's, for me, that's always been my number one goal. You know, I don't really care about playing major festivals and you know, having my own, you know, line of cologne or whatever.
Your own really beer and all that stuff that goes with it. Yeah.
You know, like, that stuff's all fun, but it's just always been about creating music that people want to listen to. And that's why, I mean, stories like the one where it starts with a girl just impacted you guys. And you know, that lady from Vancouver who heard What We Weren't Looking For and had a similar experience. I mean, that to me is success. Like, mm-hmm. that to me is what I care about. It's kind of like, you know, that Luke Combs has got that great song, you know, what would you do if you weren't doing this?
Uh-huh.
And like, well, I'd still be doing this, you know, and that's totally it for me is, you know, I can't imagine my life without music. And it's not because of doing the cool stuff, the quote unquote cool stuff or the fun stuff, but it's just because I love to create and I love to connect with people. And, you know, from the time I was young, I don't know why I felt this way, but I just felt like I was intended to impact people with my music positively. Like, I've just always kind of felt that way. Mm-hmm. That's always kind of been a driver behind what I'm doing. So, you know, signing a record deal and getting to release albums with a big label and stuff, that's all just, for me, that's just part of the stuff that just helps get my music out there for people to connect with and hopefully have it resonate with people. So for me, that's really what success looks like. It's just, I use my fans or listeners as a barometer. And if I'm getting stories like, you know, like those where people are just pulling that song into their life and it just helps them connect with their special day or a tough breakup or whatever it is, or a moment they've never been through before. I mean, that to me is, that's success.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's funny too, when you think about the woman in Vancouver, or even myself, it doesn't just hit our generation. It hits the next generation too, because if she's got children and they grow up and knowing that that's their favorite song, it moves into the next generation, because the next generation are going to say, hey, you know what, this was my dad and my mom's favorite song, or grandparents' favorite song. That music carries and carries on. It's pretty cool. Great legacy.
I never even thought of it that way, but you're totally right. I mean, like, I've got songs that I love to listen to, and it's because, you know, they're like my dad or my mom's favorite song, or mm-hmm. they sang along to it. And, you know, as much as I like the song on its own, it's kind of those special memories that I have that are attached to it that mm-hmm. super impactful and powerful for me.
The mind is a very powerful thing, and how much it's connected to our hearts. Incredible. Absolutely mm-hmm. incredible. What has been the hardest hurdle for you so far on this journey?
That's a good question. For me, I mean, one of the tough things for me was, you know, I've seen songwriting really come naturally for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen people come into a room and you know, kind of fresh songwriters, and I've been writing with them and they'll just have these brilliant ideas. And it's actually something I've really had to work on. It's something I've really had to work on my whole life. Maybe because I'm a perfectionist a bit,
okay.
But the songwriting journey has one that I don't want to say I've struggled with. It hasn't come as naturally to me as a lot of other people, which might be surprising, but it's definitely one that I've really worked on, because I know I wanted to write songs. I wanted to create music, and I've known that that's what I want to do. And it's funny when, you know, there was a point in my life where I really wanted to be an architect and I couldn't really draw very well. And I was like, you know, this is a hurdle that I'm just not going to overcome.
This one's not happening.
This is not going to happen for me.
I can relate, though, because I'm really good when it comes to doing one-on-one. Or if I'm live somewhere, I'm really good at being able to tune right into what I need to tune into. It's different for me when I'm writing for the magazine. Sometimes I will struggle going, this is so simple to do. Why am I having a hard time with this? It doesn't come as easy to me. So I get it, because as creative people, we're visionaries. So, you know, totally. It's one thing to feel with our hearts, and that's a huge deal for me. That's why I think I connect with artists the way that I do. I can read into things that they're saying and I can understand better. And I can draw that out. I can draw that story out. I think for me, it's just when I'm writing it down on paper, you're not inspired the same. Uh-huh. One-on-one I am. And I would imagine for you too, it would be the same thing. You know the ideas that you want to have. You know the kinds of songs that you want to write. But it's that process of being able to get into as many writing rooms as you possibly can, writing with as many different people as you can, because that's what builds that confidence. And
totally,
builds the ability where ideas come to you a little easier. It may not be something that ever comes easy to you.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I think for me, it was always like, it was always an issue of confidence where I knew that I wanted to make music that impacted people and, you know, that people connected with, but at the same time, I was never really sure if my stories were worth telling. And I think that was just a confidence thing where, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable with it now. I'm a lot more comfortable with the songwriting process now, but it was just one of those things where I just know so many people have gone through so much in life. And I think as a creative, you can't help but get in your head. It's like, well, I don't know. It's just like, you know, do people really want to hear about what I've gone through or on this or my perspective on this?
And we do.
You get in your head. And I think it's an important part of the journey, because I think it's important to learn and to discover that, oh, no, like country music is country music because it's so welcoming, because we've all gone through that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Commonality. All,
Now we might have different perspectives on it, maybe not to the same degree, but we've all gone through a lot of that stuff. You know, we've all fallen in and out of love. We've all had those things happen to us. And for me, that was kind of a major hurdle that I just had to get over and just get more comfortable in my own skin and find my voice, so to speak. And, and that took a long time, you know, it took a lot of trial and error, and it took a lot of real, real bad songs that'll never see the light of day. But man, that's songwriting for you. I mean, even if you're a natural, your songwriting muscle is just like any other muscle. You just have to constantly work on it and work it out and just get more and more comfortable and with it.
Tegan Gaze on the show earlier this week, or sorry, last week, and she was talking about getting in the room with Chad and for her latest single. And I said to her, what was that like? She said, well, you know, the one advice that she was given that really stood out to her and she's taken with her ever since. And Chad always said, whatever you do, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't ever be afraid to say what your idea is, because you're going to trigger something for somebody else in that writing room. And they're going to learn from you. Oh, you know what? Hey, I could do something with that. That's how you feed off each other. And that's when the writing process becomes easier.
Yeah, that's definitely something I found in my artistic career, is kind of that you have to dare to suck mentality.
Have you ever heard that? So true.
You have to be okay with sucking. You have to be okay with having terrible ideas, because, you know, you just might find something. And so it's okay. It's okay if not, you know, not every idea you have is good. And I think that's people put a lot of pressure on themselves artistically.
Always.
You know, especially when they achieve some measure of success. I think they're like, oh, well, this got to be amazing. You know?
How am I going to top this song? I need another song like that. No.
Yeah. Or I can't, how can I contribute to this write if I don't have something incredible to say? They're probably thinking I'm this incredible writer or whatever. It's like, no, it's like we're all human, and art, being artistic, is such a finicky, funny thing. You know, inspiration can be fleeting, and inspiration can come at the most inopportune moments and things like that, but that's all part of the journey. And that's honestly kind of what makes it fun and exciting is, you know, once you're okay with really just sucking and saying, you know, this might not be it, but, and then you just kind of come out with an idea that you're right, can trigger something for somebody else. They're like, oh, you know, that maybe not that exactly, but how about this with a little mm-hmm. twist on it?
And then you bounce off each other, right?
Exactly. And that's why the, you know, that co-writing process is so important. I mean, it's just, there's a reason writers love that kind of organic aspect to co-writing. It's and that's why it's the harmonization of all these different or fresh perspectives, which again leads back to what country music is all about for me. Is we've all experienced this stuff maybe in slightly different ways and slightly different perspectives, and that's part of the harmonization that makes country music, I just think, so spectacular.
And same thing if a fan's listening to a song that you've written. You touched on that very, very nicely, because fans, it doesn't matter what you intended with that song, what your connection to that song is. When you hear so many different perspectives, because it's a personal journey for every individual listening to that song, they're going to have a different take on what's happening in their life. It's their personal story. And that's what I love about music, because you can hear something that was intended one way and somebody takes it in a completely different direction. You never would have seen that coming. And that's the beauty of what lyrics can do.
You're totally right. And that's that one of the coolest qualities of music is just that people can just connect with it. How, and music kind of just meets you where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all in that same spot. And this, that song, however you intended, it's not necessarily going to connect for everyone the same way, because everybody's going to receive it a little differently. But it's just funny how music just has that power.
Mm-hmm.
It just has that power to connect your brain and your heart. And we touched on that briefly, but that's the power of a song. That's, you know, in the words of that Tim Hicks song, that's what a song should do.
Exactly.
Which I love that sentiment so much. And honestly, that's something I take with me into a lot of writes. It's like, you know, this is what a song should do here. Like, let's write it this way. And that's just so cool. Yeah.
Tim Hicks is he's been a big influence for you as well. I just had him on the show too, and he talks about how he was always self-conscious about going in about his writing.
Uh-huh.
It was something that he's struggled with his whole career. He knows how to deliver in a big way, and he can go into co-writes and, you know, knock out a really incredible song, but at the same time it's something that he's struggled with.
Yeah, you know? Tim is actually a co-writer on I guess commercially one of my bigger songs called Downtown Kids.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and so my producer at the time, Dan Swinimer, was really good friends with him, and so, you know, Tim's story has always intrigued me, because I connected with it in a few ways. Like he spent so much of his life just playing in bars and looking for an opportunity and playing 6-7 nights a week and just grinding out his craft and working on his craft. And I mean, if you see him now, if you see a performance, like, he is such a
he's a killer performer. Entertainer. Yeah,
he is. And you can tell it's, oh yeah, he's played a lot of those soul sucking rooms and gigs that you just have to play when you're coming up.
One person to 10 people, maybe 50. You just never know. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, I spent a lot of my time doing that growing up, even from, I played my first bars, with a fake ID just to be able to get in and play. So, you know, I've been playing music and things from a real young age and performing and stuff like that. But he is just one of those guys that you just can't help but look up to. I mean, he's such a great dude. He's such a kind individual of his time and
humble.
And he's, you know, one of those authentic guys. And at the same time, he's got such immense talent, you know, that you can't help but want to emulate it. I mean, he's a phenomenal singer. He's a heck of a songwriter, and his showmanship. I mean, you know, when he's on stage, his live performing, like his live shows, like, as an artist, you can't help but not want to emulate it. And it's crazy, like, looking at his career, and he might not have like the same numbers of like number ones or things as like somebody like a Dallas Smith or somebody like that, but
he's got a lot of them. He's got a lot.
But his fan base just knows and loves all of his songs because they're all so good. And even the ones he never like released to radio or just kind of like an extra cut on his album. Like, I've just seen him play so many times where I'm like, wow, this is a great song. I can't believe I've never heard it before. but he's got all these fans who just, they know every single song, every single note. every guitar lick, every lyric. And to me, that's just so cool, because he's just kind of built almost this cult following in a way where people just love to see him play. And he's just so good.
Well, he's a part of the staple here in Canada and what he's created for country music here. And he's one of those trailblazers and the reasons why, you know, country has turned in the direction that it has here.
Yeah. And it's funny, I still remember when I was playing in country bars, you know, in nightclubs before I really started playing my own stuff. I remember I was playing his big song, Get By. And that was, you know, we would, you know, often close the night out with that one because everybody went crazy for it. And that was a long time ago. And so it's always, I mean, you know, even when I was doing that, it was always fun to cover his stuff and to the impact he's had for such a long time, because I mean, that was probably 11, 12 years ago now, something like that.
Well, yeah, because it's been he's 10 years, yeah, you know, maybe. that he got his first single on radio.
That would have been Get By, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 There's some songs I'm sure he's going to be singing those until, you know, I told him, you get another 25 years, you're just starting. And he just started laughing. He's going, I hope so.
That's a thing. You certainly do hope so as an artist. If you can have songs that resonate that long, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's obviously something I think every artist aspires to is longevity. And I think that's just, for me, it's so important to be authentic and stick to your craft in the right ways, because I think that is the hallmark of what I want my career to have, is sustainability and longevity, as opposed to, you know, flash in the pan. Oh, this is a really now and current sound, but you know, the artist might be gone the next day. So, you know, and that's something that I think Tim's definitely going to have, you know, as much as anybody else.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Now you have got a great, great evolving sound that has now, I think you're just on the peak of what I know that is going to be coming for you. You're working with one of the best. Now let's talk about Danik, because he is just, he's an award winner for a reason. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what he's doing in there. Talk about embarking and, you know, on this new journey, on this new chapter, and working with him on the sound that you have in the last two records.
Yeah, I mean, Danik and I mean, such a great guy and such a heck of a producer. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was real nervous the first time I got in the studio with him, because I'm like, oh my gosh, Emerson Drive. I mean,
well, yeah. he's one that can tell you right there what it was like to work on both sides of the border and what success looks like. He's helped out so many. He's just on top of his game big time.
Yeah, he's got an incredible year. And I mean, Emerson Drive, like I was saying, being like kind of one of the preeminent names in Canadian country music and talk about longevity. I mean, they have so many iconic songs. And so, I mean, first off, I couldn't believe that he even wanted to work with me.
Why not? He would be so thrilled to work with you.
I felt very fortunate, very humbled, and a little bit of, you can't help but when you get into the room with somebody like that to feel a little bit of imposter syndrome, where it's like, do I really belong? but him and I have become really great friends, and I think that's really translated to the music. I think, you know, our working relationship is still fairly fresh, I guess, you know, but so good at kind of pulling the best out of you. And so for me, vocally, it's been really fun, because with Danik, it's not good enough until it's good enough.
And that's great.
Yeah. And it's forced me to become a better singer and grow at my craft for sure. And we've had such a good time working together on these songs. Him and I just really share a similar, we share a similar view for, I think, how songs should kind of come together and sonically what they should kind of sound like. And we love getting live musicians on songs. And that's something in my career, you know, I've tried to get as much as possible, but it's just been so refreshing to work with him, and just so talented. And he's definitely got an ear unlike anybody I've ever met. He's just able to pull the best out of you and the best out of the song. And he's got such a clear vision for how he wants things to turn out. And luckily for us, working together seems to be, you know, real easy, because we kind of both have that shared vision. And I'm just so incredibly fortunate, honestly. I still can't believe that, you know, I get to work with him. He's such a talented dude. And like you said, so many awards and what he's done, you know, with Tebe and with Tyler Joe Miller's career and I mean, countless other artists. It's been incredible to just see his hand at work in so many different parts of the Canadian country industry that you
everywhere.
And like you alluded to it, you often forget. It's like, oh yeah, and he had massive success in the United States.
Huge.
He's got a wall full of awards and gold records and things. So that first time walking into a studio, like I talked about imposter syndrome. I was worried the foundation of the studio, like the walls might, you know, come down because there was so much hardware up there. But then you get to know him, and he's just such a humble, kind dude, and he's funny, and we have a lot of the same interests. So we just get along great.
Well, he's really good, and he really makes everybody feel so welcome. But he just knows how to be able to connect with you as an artist and what your vision is. And a lot of the time, like he's been there, and that's what's great. He knows this industry, you know, inside and out. He knows what it takes for business. He also knows what it takes for branding. And that's a big deal. And that's where I think this is going to be something so spectacular for you as an artist, to be able to work with someone like him. And you'll be shocked at that confidence level just goes up and up. You might have thought you knew stuff before, but by the time you finish with him and continue to work with him, you're going to evolve leaps and bounds because of his experience. Huge.
Yeah, he's definitely got that breadth of knowledge that, I mean, you know, one of the earliest pieces of advice I ever got in the industry was surround yourself with great people.
Yes.
And it's harder to get greater than Danik, you know, in mm-hmm. terms of just what he's able to do professionally, like in terms of his talent.
He's a great songwriter.
Yeah. And then just who he is as a human being, you know, he's such a good dude. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to me, that's a definition of surrounding yourself with great people. And I still can't believe he's working with me, but you know,
it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know what, the writing too, which we'll learn from him too, which is that'll help you a lot as well. We're going to talk about one, because since I've had you on the show, you came out with something that was Wreck My Weekend that you did with Danik as well. So let's talk about that one and the writing for the song.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was really, for me, the first step, kind of this, call it a sonically slightly different direction.
Well, it's edgier, you know, right?
Yeah, this was my first time working with Danik, and we hung out a few times just to like kind of learn about each other, and you know, he wanted to learn about me and musically and as an artist and stuff like that, and it's kind of definitely a step forward for me, I think, as an artist. You know, I'm really proud of that song, and musically it just turned out so well, and it's definitely got a bit of, you know, I grew up listening to rock music, and so it's definitely got a bit of that influence in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so fun to play live. I gotta say, it's such a fun song to play live. We've been opening the shows with that song last year, because it's just so much fun. It was definitely a big step of faith, I'll say, for me, because it was definitely a change from my last few singles and the stuff I'd done. But I really wanted to, part of the reason I wanted to work with Danik too, is I just really wanted to start pushing myself, and I wanted to start pushing the envelope as to what I could record and the, you know, how good of a singer I could be, and, mm-hmm. Try to just, you know, surprise my fans in like all the right ways, and kind of just create something that was like real exciting again. I think that we did that, and the response is great, and especially live. Like, it's just such a fun song. That's something actually I noticed as an artist was, you know, I'm really grateful for my catalog up till now. I just kind of noticed that playing live shows, it's like, man, you know, I kind of wish I had just like a couple more upbeat songs or a couple heavier songs, just so you can take the audience on a bit more of a journey or throw mm-hmm. another curveball at them in a live show. And so for me, that was really important. So when I first got pitched the song, I mean, it's Danik was a writer on it along with Tebe and Jimmy Thau, formerly of Sons of Daughters, and it just was like, wow, like it was just like a a kick in the face in all the right ways. I was like, this is real cool. This is something I really want to do. And thankfully it really worked out. It's just been so much fun to, the recording process was fun too. Just cause it's such a fun upbeat song, you know, oftentimes if you're in the studio and working on a ballad, it can pull your heartstrings a bit and the lyrics can, get heavy after a while. So this one was nice because it's really impactful and the story is so unique behind it.
It is.
But it's just a fresh perspective. It's just a fresh perspective of something we've all experienced, we've all had that breakup where we've gone out and, oh, look, they're there. you've been moping at home and you're like, I'm going to try and move on with my life, but they're there and they're there wrecking your weekend. But it's just such a fun perspective on a situation we've all been in. And I think that's why it really resonated with people.
Well, that's why you can have that edgier kind of tune and still have that impact of the kind of writer that you want to be and the kind of impact you want to have, the songs that you're great at, but you're just doing it in a different way. And that's what I loved about it. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Wreck My Weekend by multi-award nominated country artist David James here on Music's Journey.
I ain't been around these downtown bars. Been hiding out with a broken heart, out of sight, out of mind. Had you gone until you showed up, hanging off his arm. You could have picked any old spot, any old day of the week. So I'm filling him up to the top. The scene you's killing me. I was sitting here drinking on a Friday night. I was just getting started on some cold Bud Lights. Why'd you have to walk in, laughing and holding his hand? I just smile and pretend while you wreck my weekend. Ain't none of my business, so I hate to admit, but it's driving me crazy the way he's calling you baby. Out of sight, out of mind. Had you gone, and now I'm right back where it went wrong. Yeah, I was sitting here drinking on a Friday night. I was just getting started on some cold Bud Lights. Why'd you have to walk in, laughing and holding his hand? I just smile and pretend while you wreck my. I was sitting here drinking on a Friday night. I was just getting started on some cold Bud Lights. I was sitting here drinking on a Friday night. I was just getting started on some cold Bud Lights. Why'd you have to walk in, laughing and holding his hand? I just smile and pretend while you wreck my.
That was Wreck My Weekend by my very special guest, country artist David James. Don't forget, you can download Wreck My Weekend on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and you can also share it. You can also request it at your favorite country radio station.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was fun. It was actually a pretty tough shoot day. We were in a warehouse in Nashville. My producer, Ryan, my video director, who's like such a killer dude, he found this warehouse and he's like, how do you feel about shooting in a warehouse in Nashville? I was like, oh, that sounds fun. Without like thinking about it, okay, Nashville in the summertime is like 110.
Yep.
It's like a 10,000 square foot warehouse and there's just this one tiny little like AC unit in the wall, kind of like the size you'd use for like a little tow it, like a trailer. So it was real hot. But it was fun because, you know, so we had a couple of beers and stuff to keep cool, which was always nice. But yeah, I've worked with Ryan a few times.
It's Ryan Dolan, right? Is it Ryan?
Ryan Nolan, yeah, Ryan Nolan, and he's just such a killer dude. We work really well creatively together, and videos is not something I've ever felt super creatively inclined to do. It's just definitely not my strength. So it's really nice working with somebody like that who's just. Who can come up with these ideas that, you know, make you feel comfortable and really excited and present kind of the song in a new way. And this one was a little lighthearted in the video, which was, you know, which was kind of fun. And we just had a great time. We had a great time filming and I'm really happy with how it turned out.
I think the fans were too. Really, really good song all the way around. You know, you have over 19 million streams to date.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, you know, you try not to, you try to be careful as to what kind of barometers you hold yourself to. And, you know, goal setting, I think, is important. But, I mean, I never would have thought. I mean, when I first started doing the streaming, it was a really new thing. And you know, so I don't know. It's still a pretty tough number for me to grasp that many people have, you know, streamed my music. And
well, it's not just that. You've also been nominated. If you think about it, since 2016, yeah. Starting on this journey, yeah. You've been nominated every year.
It's true, yeah.
So
yeah.
That says something. You know, that means that the fans are sticking with it. They love your music. They're following you on the journey. Mm-hmm. And you're gaining new listeners as you go. That's, yeah, you're doing it right.
And for me, that's the most gratifying part is just keeping, you know, bringing new people in on the journey is always fun. I'm still incredibly grateful. To have music that people can access and listen to. And you know, the fact that it's that many, I mean, it's unbelievable. But at the same time, you know, the number is not so much important as much as, you know, hearing people are connecting with my songs. And, mm-hmm. You know, that'll continue to be my measure of success. But, I mean, 19 million of anything is pretty cool. I can't imagine 19 million of anything. So, well, you know, even grains of rice, it sounds like quite a lot. It sounds like quite a meal. So
this journey that you're on right now, this sound, I think you're just going to see such a massive climb in the numbers.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that's, you're just onto something very, very cool. And Danik's definitely done that. So Danik DePaul, he is just so cool at what he does and just such a genius. Let's talk about your latest single right now. This one is so special. Mm. Very cool. Let Her Go. And again, twist on the whole concept for this single.
Yeah, I mean, this one is one of the songs that I'm really proud of throughout my career. You know, I think lyrically it tells
your kind of song. Yeah.
Yeah, and it tells a story from an interesting perspective. You know, we've all been a part of breakups where, you know, we've been the one to end it, or we're the one who's, you know, maybe going through a really tough time, and you know, this is an experience that I had gone through, and I'm certain a lot of other people have, and it really hits home for me. You know, without getting too detailed into my past relationships, you know, I just thought it was such a fresh, fun perspective. You know, and I know there are people who have been on both sides of it, both the person wishing, oh man, why did I let that person go? You know, I never should have done it. And then the person who's like, well, sorry, man, you missed your chance. You know, I see her or him for like how amazing they are of a person, and I wasn't going to pass up that opportunity, and you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just, it's such a, what I feel is a pretty universal story that just has never really been told from that perspective.
That's why I really liked it, because it was a flip, and it's just a different type of mm-hmm. way of going about the storyline, and I can relate to it instantly. And there's mm-hmm. just so many things that people can take from this in their own journey. But yeah, I absolutely love the twist in this one.
Yeah, and I think when you hear that title,
mm-hmm.
You think something totally different.
Exactly. And, you know,
I love that about country songs. I love country songs that do that. And you kind of, yeah, when the listener's in for a bit of a, a bit of a left turn when it comes to the hook. But it kind of hits in all the right ways. I think that's really special. And I think that song did that. You know, I'm really proud vocally of, you know, what we were able to accomplish in the studio. I mean, with Danik, I think it's, you know, I mean, I hope it's, you know, some of the best, one of the better
definitely.
Performances I've given.
Yes.
It was
you had to feel that too, right? In yourself?
Totally. And that's why I think as an artist, it's just so important, like we've said, numerous times, to be authentic and be true to yourself and create music that you feel really strongly about, because, you can tell in a vocal performance if somebody's just not really connecting, mm-hmm. if they're not feeling a song, and you you can't hide that. You can't hide that authenticity. And so for me, this was, a really cool song, and I connected with it immediately. And so to get the opportunity to get to release it as a single, I was real excited about. And it's a ballad or ballad-ish, and they aren't real popular radio right now. So, I'm really, really grateful for my team for still believing in me as an artist and allowing me to say, I really want this one to come out. And I feel really good about the song. And if nothing else, this song to me was never about, oh, let's try and get this one top 10 on radio. This song to me was about, I want this. This is a song that I'm really, at the end of my career, looking back, I'm going to be really proud of. And I'm just so grateful with how it turned out.
Such a cool tune. We're going to play it right now. Here's the latest single, Let Her Go, by multi-award nominated country artist David James, here on Music's Journey.
Phone lights up past 10 p.m. I ain't gotta ask to know who it is. She rolls on her side, flips the thing over. I ain't a fool, you ain't sober. But hey man, I get it, I'd be drunk too. Probably calling her number after a few. Tried to talk back, but I cut loose. Brother, I'm sorry, but that's all on you. You let her go. You let her leave. You didn't care till she was here with me. You didn't go chasing her down that driveway, begging her to come back. You let her cry. You let her fly. You left a chance for another guy to show her what it means to hold on tight. You let her go. Well, you know what they say. When you love someone, think you've got your sign. What's done is done. You set her free and she's past the sad. She's good with me and she ain't coming back. So let her go, you let her leave. You didn't care till she was here with me. You didn't go chasing her down that driveway, begging her to come back. You let her cry, you let her fly. You left the chance for another guy to show her what it means to hold on tight. You let her go, so let her go. Now you gotta let her go. I know that you had her. And now you're lying alone in the dark. Should I never let her go? If you didn't wanna let her go and wind up in my arms. You let her go, you let her leave. You didn't care till she was here with me. You didn't go chasing her down that driveway, begging her to come back. You let her cry, you let her fly. You left a chance for another guy to show what it means to hold on tight. Oh, you let her go. Oh, you let her go. You let her go.
That was Let Her Go by multi-award nominated country artist David James. Don't forget you can download the single on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and you can share it. You can also request it at your favorite local radio station. Such a cool tune. The direction for the sound, as I said, the voice. That's the one thing I noticed right away in what he's able to do with your voice. And that's only going to get, it's going to evolve more and more and more, the more confidence you have in being able to go places that you never thought you could before. And I think it showcases in the song. It really does.
Yeah, it's been such a treat to work with Danik, you know, like I've said. And I'm always trying to push myself. And so I think whatever you're doing, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're an artist or anything, you know, trying to work with people and surround yourself with people who are going to push you to be better, I think is so important. Because at the end of the day, you know, you got to keep pushing yourself. You got to keep, you know, pushing your limits, and you got to keep trying to grow and improve at whatever you're doing. And so I'm incredibly grateful that we've gotten to work together on these last few songs and really, really looking forward to what we're able to come up with next.
Oh, I can't wait. Now, you went to New Mexico, right, to shoot the music video for this one?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we went to Taos, which is like a kind of a skiing, like, mountain town. And again, this is just Ryan was able to find us, you know, a place to shoot out there. He's just always full of creative ideas. And I'd never been out there before, and it was really cool. I mean, it was so beautiful. Amazing mountain, things like that. The architecture was pretty wild. It was like all like kind of these adobe style buildings. I think that's how you say it, like kind of these red clay buildings everywhere. And the town was amazing, and the people were, you know, super kind. It was a trip. It was definitely a unique experience and a unique place. But the visuals we got from it were just spectacular. And he had a real clear vision for how it was going to look. And, you know, we didn't think that we'd be battling too many blizzardy conditions, but we were. So we were real lucky to get the shots we got. And Mother Nature was not our kindest friend, you know, especially after a long flight and drive just to get there. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm real grateful that we got to share that experience.
And it is such a great video. And it really, it emotes that feeling that you needed from this too. And maybe that was the whole purpose, right? You never know why, you know, when things go wrong or it's always difficult, you get the best work. And it was cool. Very cool.
Especially a lot of those outdoor shoots, you have to be prepared to pivot. I mean, pivot's all of our favorite word from COVID, right? I'm sure. Learned to pivot, but you definitely have to be prepared to pivot and deal with the elements as they come. But, you know, when you're working with somebody like Ryan, who's just a master of what he does, and he's such a joy to work with, and it takes all the stress off me. I just get to, I get to travel to a really cool place and show up and have a great time. So for me, it's a real treat, and it's easy. It's fun to do stuff like that. And that's the really cool thing about music, is it's really afforded me a lot of really cool places that I've got to experience and travel that I'm not sure I ever would have been able to otherwise. So this is definitely one I can check off the bucket list as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, can you tell us anything that you're working on right now? We've got more coming this year.
Definitely have some more music coming. Yeah, I've been writing like crazy, and again, just trying to consistently evolve the sound and push myself and push my songwriting and push everything forward. You know, as an artist, I've been really working hard at that the last few months, and I think we're gonna have, you know, I mean, I'm real hopeful about a few songs that I'm going to have coming up. And, you know, I hope the listeners will connect with them and love them as much as all the rest of the stuff. But I'm just really excited for what's to come. It's funny, you know, COVID was so terrible for so many reasons, but
Really good for writing.
I did a lot of writing, and I'm just, you know, I feel so energized and refreshed now that we're on the other side of it. And, you know, okay, now we've had a full year of playing shows and things are kind of back to normal. And so it feels really exciting and it's energizing. I've never felt more creatively excited, I think, in my career than I am now. So, you know, I'm very hopeful. Yeah, very hopeful the best is yet to come, for sure.
Guaranteed. I know it. I just know you well enough, and I just know the team you're working with, so I guarantee there's going to be some pretty cool stuff coming. When's the next single? Can you give an idea?
Don't really have too much of a timeline yet. You know, Let Her Go is still out there, and you know, people are still listening to it. I mean, it's still
gotta let
know,
it breathe.
It's I mean, people still resonating. You know, the cool thing about streaming is you can kind of see the metrics behind how a song is being consumed, and, and you don't want to step on its toes too much, and so it's you know, it's still thankfully resonating with people, which is amazing. So you know, we're going to take our time and pick our spot for sure, but I would say hopefully, you know, hopefully in the next couple months, a few months, we'll definitely have some out.
Very cool. Have you got some shows that you can announce?
We've got some coming up in the summer. Yeah. We're kind of in a weird position. We had such a crazy year last year that, you know, it's funny being a musician. You just want to play and play and play everywhere, all the shows that you can. And sometimes somebody on the business side has to say, well, you know, you can't play everywhere every year. You know, you gotta, you know, allow demand things, of supply and demand and all these things, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
But, we've got some coming up. We've got some festivals in Ontario we're going to be announcing really soon. So,
cool. Have to watch out for that.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I would love to have you guys out for sure. If you're able, that would be awesome.
Got to get out there and get back in the pit. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Perfect summer to get back into it. You just let me know if you want to come out, and we'll definitely make that happen.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a look at those Ontario dates, and we're going to make that happen, because I'd love to be able to come out and do a live interview for a change. That'd be cool.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Okay, so a couple quick questions for you. Favorite spot to chill and listen to some great music when you are in Nashville? What's your favorite place?
Oh, it's the same as everywhere else. I love listening to music in my truck.
Very but, cool. Where it all started. Yeah,
that's my favorite spot. You know, that's whenever I have a new song that I'm working on, I just crank my truck speakers up and listen. Whenever I'm discovering new music, you know, I just, you know, I'm a sucker for a long drive with a great
playlist. Me too.
Sometimes I'll do it for the hell of it, just to kind of, you know, clear my head and get re-energized and refreshed. So definitely my truck.
It's a favorite thing to do for me too, because I love the road trips, and I always have all my music set out, and yeah, I love that time. It's just such a great time to unwind and just soak in the sights and the music. I absolutely love that time too. I understand you very well. Favorite song on the radio today? Any genre?
Oh man, that's tough. Let's come back to that one.
Okay.
I gotta think about that one. Yeah.
What is one song that you wish that you have written?
Man, there's so many. You know, I'd say probably, maybe Humble and Kind by Tim McGraw.
Oh, nice.
I love that song so much. I mean, the way he sings it is just, I mean, he's just the perfect guy to deliver a song like that in terms of his voice and how he delivers a song. But it's just, I think the message behind it is just, I just think it's so incredible. And it's one that, you know, one day, you know, whenever I have kids, you know, I'd love to write a song like that, kind of a love note to them, and that I can just tell them about just some nuggets of wisdom and advice. Like, I just think it's real impactful. So I'd love to write a song like that one day.
Very cool. I know how much you love driving in the truck and your road tunes. If we turned on your stereo right now, what would be the road tune that we'd be listening to?
Man, I've really been digging Hardy's new record lately. So,
I know, I love it too.
You know, maybe something like that. And that's probably my favorite song on the radio right now is probably Wait in the Truck. I just think it's just such a cool, interesting song.
Hardy's going to be at Boots and Hearts this year too.
Yeah, he is. And I mean, he put on a heck of a concert.
So looking forward to it.
So much energy. And I mean, he's just got those two sides of him, right? Like, he's got that country side and he's got that heavy rock side. And live, believe me, there's no absence of energy at a Hardy show. So, he's probably what would be on right now. He was what I was listening to all morning. So
Very cool. I haven't seen him live yet, so I'm looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it this year.
Yeah,
it's going to be a cool one. Okay. First concert you ever went to?
First concert I ever went to was, you know, this is actually kind of a funny story. So Tim Neufeld, Tim and the Glory Boys, you know, obviously has a successful country career going. But before that, he had a Christian rock band called Starfield.
Oh,
and
that's right.
When they were first starting out, and I mean first starting out, like they were probably, I don't know, like maybe 21 years old, 20 years old. I was still a young teenager, and they came and they played at this church youth event. And that was my first time ever going to a what I thought was a really cool rock concert.
Wow.
And it was actually that. But I'll say my first like real show that I bought a ticket for was actually Aaron Perchett in Portage La Prairie, Manitoba. I went to go see him with my very first girlfriend, who really
nice. Did you take her afterwards to meet him?
No, we didn't do the meet and greet, actually. I don't know if he did one that night, actually.
He does every single time he plays.
Yeah.
And he stays right to the very end to shake that last person's hand. He's so good.
I learned a lot from Aaron. I mean, full circle, you know, getting to tour with him in 2019, and we were on the road for 60 plus shows together on his Out on the Town tour, and he is such a kind and gracious guy. Mm-hmm. And he treated us so well, you know, like I was just the opening act, and you know, I was like, okay, well, you know, I've heard some horror stories in the past of openers for artists, and you know, they never even really get to meet the headliner.
A lot of times they don't. But yeah, Aaron's so cool that way.
Oh, he was so nice. He was so good to us. So, and I learned a lot from him. Just about, you're right, about just he is so committed to those meet and greets and everything else. Like, he will stay to the last person, and he's never in a rush. He never rushes you out the door. He's really genuinely so excited and so happy that you've showed up to his show. And I just think that that's just so cool.
He's one hell of an entertainer.
That too. I mean, that guy has so much energy on stage. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. He's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but
I know.
He's got so much energy. It's pretty wild to see.
I remember the first time I seen him, I went, okay, you know what? I gotta take a look and see what other schedule he's going to be playing at. And I ended up shooting a lot of his shows just because I loved watching him play. But he does a lot of charity stuff work. Like, he does a lot too when it comes to being able to help other artists and giving great advice, but charity work too. He is just such a cool dude all the way around.
Yeah, it's always really cool when artists like that who have been around for a while can, you know, use their star power, if you'll call it that, just for good, and mm-hmm. to be able to help others out and help out events and causes like that. I just think it's definitely something I aspire to do as well. Yeah.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to this journey that you're on right now, and it's been a pleasure to watch from the sidelines and just being a part of that journey with you and just seeing how much you've evolved. I can't wait to see what you got next. Really cool.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you taking the time to have me on today. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure. We look forward to having you back.
Sounds great.
Okay, we'll see you on the road.
Sounds good.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Kim.
All right, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist David James, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Devin Cooper, Jason Benoit, Madeline Merlot, Tim Hicks, Faber Drive, Tegan Gaze, Jay Coote, the winner of The Voice, is back with another special song, Mike Whiteside, Jade Eagleson, The Heels, Shantaya, New Moon Junction, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Griffin Palmer, Ty Wilson, Rock Band Harmonies, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show. And have yourselves a wonderful day, and I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.